You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, everyone. It's Takuya here.
And I'm Gabby.
And we are the hosts of History of Everything, a podcast which you can probably guess by the name is, well, I mean, it's about everything. Do you want to know why people thought potatoes were evil and would give you syphilis? Are you curious about all the stories of the terrible and stupid ways that people have kicked the bucket over the years? Do you want to hear tales about all of the different badasses of history and the lives that they had brought to life? Well, if so, then look no further. History of Everything is just the right podcast for you. It's available on Spotify, Pandora, and anywhere else that you get your podcast from. Join us for some fun and just see how weird and wacky history can be.
Hey, everybody. I'm Cassie.
And I'm Christina.
We're from My Worst Date. And we just wanted to introduce you to our good friends, Katie and Nathan.
And they asked us to let you know that they curse on this show.
Ew. So if you hate cursing, you should get out of here. But if you love it like we do, stick around.
Yeah. And if you really, really love it, then come check out our show. Again, it's My Worst Date.
You're going to love us because gosh darn it, we do curse quite a lot over at My Worst Date. So have fun today on Queen's Podcast. And then, you know, maybe afterwards, just come check us out for some bad dating stories.
Cheers.
Hi, this is Katie.
And this is Nathan.
And you're listening to Queen's Podcast, the show about badass women in history.
Nathan!
Katie, I am so excited to do our part two of this badass bitch that we've been covering.
Yes! The Pirate Queen, Grainne O'Malley. We got a message on Instagram. One of our Irish listeners, this guy who's... But he sent me, like, voice messages, and it was overwhelmingly very positive. But then he was like, I do want to tell you some of the names that you mispronounced. And I was just like, do not come to Texas. Like, the differences that he gave us sounded so minuscule to me, but I imagine to an Irish person,
probably
sounds really different. And so, like, I told him, I was like, you would have a horrible time in Texas. Because I feel like there's a fair amount of people with Irish last names in Texas. The example I gave is my grandmother's maiden name is McBride. And I was like, you would have a stroke at hearing how everyone says MacBride.
It's true.
MacBride. Are you one of them MacBride girls?
Oh, God. Yeah, that would probably drive them nuts. We're sorry.
So, yeah, we appreciate, just as some of our French listeners have done before, we're sorry. We appreciate you going on this journey with us, despite our Texan accents.
Yes. Sorry.
All right. Well, before we hop in to part two of Grainne O'Malley's story, we got some Patreon shout outs, and it's slightly more than we usually have. So
yes.
Welcome to all the newbies. Nathan, give us some shout outs.
Yeah, we've got Maya, Kimberly, Jenna from past podcast, Bree, Ashley, and Grace.
Ooh, I love hearing another podcaster out there.
Yeah.
Supporting podcasters. Love it. And then we got Tabitha, Aaron, Ashlyn, Claire, Emma, Rebecca, Carmen, Erica, and Orla. Woo!
Yay. Thank you so much, Patreon supporters and all listeners at all levels. We love you all. So thank you so much.
Yes. Okay, Nathan, where did we leave off?
So, Grainne is kicking ass and taking names in the pirating world. She's a ruthless leader, and despite the patriarchy, men have no problem following her. And she's starting to make a name for herself in Ireland and in other places.
Yes.
And she might have caught the eye of Elizabeth Tudor. Maybe you've heard of her. Queen Elizabeth I of England. No big deal.
No, not an important figure in history at all. So, also, like, let's just put a disclaimer out there. We have a lot to talk about. We're not going to have a whole lot of time to recap things from part one. So just make sure you've listened to part one before listening to part two.
How about that? So,
yeah.
We mentioned at the end of her last episode that she recently married for a second time to a guy named Richard Burke, a.k.a. Iron Dick. Porno name ever.
Ever.
They seem to have had a rocky marriage in the beginning with Grania, but, you know, she's threatening divorce and shit, so
yeah.
Not necessarily the best way
and
to
I'm
start
keeping
out
the castle, asshole.
Right. But they seem to have worked everything out, and it started to be a really great working relationship.
Yeah, I personally don't think it was romantic ever, but they were they were a power couple. So it was it was a business agreement more than anything. Like we said in part one, Gracie knew how to turn on the charm. So when they'd meet other powerful dudes, like, she kind of let Iron Dick just be in the background, and he kind of let her handle the wheeling and dealing. Like, she was the face of the relationship. And before long, everyone that they knew, they would reach out to Grania if they wanted to make some kind of trade deal or something. I even read one thing where Iron Richard, the next in line for the head of his clan, was on more than one instance referred to as Grania's husband.
But he
didn't seem to mind. He kind of seemed kind of cool to let her be the PR person in the couple. So I kind of like him. He doesn't seem to have fragile dick energy. He has iron dick energy.
Yes. I see what you did there.
But his strength was fucking people up. I mean, she was pretty good at fucking people up, but if somebody messed with them, you did not want to get met with the iron dick, because he would really fuck you up.
So, Grania.
Iron dick energy. I love it.
We talked about in part one how chieftains of clans weren't inherited, but they were elected in Ireland. So Iron Dick had been selected to be the next chieftain of his clan. This clan was called the McWilliams. Mm-hmm. However, he wasn't the eldest son of the current McWilliam, because in Ireland, that wasn't really a prerequisite to be next in line, is to be eldest. But let's just put a pin in that for a second.
Boop, boop, put a pin in it. So, okay, let's switch gears a little bit and let's look towards England. If you remember correctly from part one, this guy, maybe you've heard of him, Henry VIII, he was really horny for taking control of Ireland.
He was just really horny in general.
He was horny in general, and he just really wanted the Irish to be less Irish-y. And his daughter now is the current queen, Elizabeth I. She had similar goals. She wasn't quite as Henry VIII about it, but still, it is problematic from a historical standpoint of trying to make Ireland England, basically.
Yeah, erase a culture. Yeah, that's a problem.
It's not great. It's not a good look.
So in episode one, we talked about surrender and regrant, where Irish clan leaders would surrender their lands to English crown, and then they would be regranted back to them. But now they'd have it as a member of the British nobility. So instead of Chieftain McWilliams, you'd now be Lord McWilliams or Earl of the McWilliams. And you have to say it like that because they're English and they're assholes. So, and I can say that because I'm like 60% English. So don't come at me. Thank you.
And because you are a lord. We bought you that lord. The Patreon supporters bought you that lordship last year for your birthday. So what's the problem there? Like, what is the problem there with, okay, so what? They've surrendered their land, but then got it back, but now with an English title. Well, the problem there, you know how we were just saying, you, in Irish culture, it didn't necessarily go to the son of the former lord or whatever. It was, like, the person who was voted in. Well, Grania's husband wasn't the eldest son of the current McWilliams. So though he had been voted in to be the heir.
So what you're saying is because they've adopted the English way of things now, they have to give it to the oldest son? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
So now they're like, well, your vote doesn't count. It just automatically goes to the oldest son. So we got a problem here because Iron Dick has just lost his inheritance. Not inheritance. He just lost his... He was elected by the people and just lost his title or what's coming to him. And so do you think Iron Dick's going to take that sitting down?
No.
Mm-mm. Do you think Rania's going to take that sitting down?
No.
And hard no.
Okay. So they obviously have a problem with this. But there's this English guy that was Elizabeth's minister in Ireland. His name is Henry Sidney. So Grania calls up Sidney and is like, hey, let's talk. Come over to my neck of the woods. I want to show you my ship.
Let's have a drink. Let's chit-chat.
Let's get some booze. Yeah,
let's go. We can work this out. Uh-huh. See? She was very personable. She knew which way the wind was blowing. She kept her ear to the ground. So she was like, I got to make friends with this guy if I want my family to be where I think my family needs to be. Yeah. He goes to Galway, which we mentioned in the last episode was like the major trading town of the area, and checks out her ships. And he's like, this is impressive. He was also impressed that she was a woman, that every man on those ships did whatever the fuck she said. He was like, well, this is impressive. And the story goes is that she's like, yeah, well, when someone's my friend, I'm always willing to help them and give them a ship or two and give them a soldier or a couple of dozen. When someone's my friend, when they scratch my back, I scratch theirs. Mm. So you help me and my husband keep my husband's shit like where it's supposed to go, and I'll help you wherever you need.
Ah, she's very political.
She is very political. Yeah.
So you know Sidney is writing to Elizabeth in England about this. Like,
yeah.
Hey, this pirate queen is willing to play ball with us.
Mm-hmm.
She knows these waters. She's got friends in Spain and Scotland. She's rich. She's influential. She could be a very valuable friend. So it's possible at this time Queen Elizabeth is like, friends with a pirate queen? Okay. Okay. I see you.
Okay, let me think on it. I'd like to take a minute to note. I feel like, and I hope I don't upset anybody when I say this, Grania O'Malley was not a patriot. Nothing I read about her. I don't want to say she wasn't proud of where she came from, but she didn't give a fuck if they were Irish, if they were English. She wasn't hardcore for the Irish. She wasn't hardcore for... She was hardcore for herself. She was hardcore for the O'Malleys. She was hardcore for the Burkes and her children and her grandchildren. She had no qualms in working with the English if she felt like that was going to make her family more comfortable. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. She's just worried about her clan and her family and everyone around her. Not really worried about the other clans that are in other areas. She really didn't give a fuck about them. It was more just, I want to make sure that I'm making the most advantageous relationships to help me and my people.
I honestly feel like if the devil himself would have came and been like, hey, Grania, sign this and your family's going to be set, she'd be like, well, I guess we're Satanists now. Like, I don't fucking care. Like, she was for hers and her own, not necessarily the country as a whole.
Yeah.
And that's my two cents on that.
All right, so let's change gears. Gracie is out there doing her pirate shit. And what was that, Katie?
That was the sound of me changing gears. That's what a manual car sounds like, right?
So Gracie is out there doing pirate shit, and she decides to raid some ships that belong to this dude named Desmond. But things didn't go in Grania's favor, and she gets captured.
Oh, no!
I know. Everyone thought she was invincible, but guess not.
I mean, she's like, and this is the first time she's been like pirating since she was 12. If this is the first time she got captured.
I'm pretty damn good.
This Desmond guy is an Irish lord that had already done the surrender and regrant shit with England.
Okay.
But he was on bad terms with Elizabeth at the moment. So he caught Grania and he's like, if I bring the pirate queen to the English, they are going to be really, really impressed. But what he didn't know is that Elizabeth was already well aware of Grania and probably actually preferred her being on the sea so that they could, you know, continue this I scratch your back, you scratch mine relationship.
And our girl, after being captured, was held in prison for 2 years, guys. And this is not like Mary Queen of Scots prison or Joan of Navarre, where you get fed and you get people come visit you. You get
you
to
can
read
go write
letters.
Horses.
Yeah, this is like prison.
Prison. And back then, in prison, the person that held you in prison was not obligated to feed you. So if you had to have, like, she had to, like, know somebody that was going to come and bring her food every day.
Ugh.
It was not a nice, in 2 years. That's grim. Isn't that fucking grim?
That sucks.
Yeah, yeah. But after 2 years, the Sydney guy that we were just talking about, he petitions, he pulls strings, and he's like, we're going to get you out of prison. And it's almost possibly on the orders of Elizabeth.
Like, why would they care if she was in prison now after 2 years?
So her husband, Iron Dick Burke, is causing drama for the English. Because the McWilliam died and Iron Dick was passed over.
Ooh.
Because Grania wasn't there to carry out the diplomatic strategy that she had already put in place. All of Iron Dick's men and all of Grania's men are now in full rebellion against the English. And so it was like, let Grania out so she can like try to keep peace.
Yeah. And they come to her and are like, if we let you go, can you please like help us stop all the fighting?
Right.
And Grania is 50 at this point. She's lived a hard life.
Yeah.
The assumption that is that she's going to be like, you know, I'm just an old woman. I just want to live in peace and have my husband at home with me and play chill and play nice. So she's
Netflix,
like, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to turn on some Netflix and chill and just have some nice little dinners with my hubby. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Of course. Psych. And the moment she gets out, she does not hesitate. She does not wait. She is like, get me on a ship. We are fucking up whoever is keeping us from our title. Is it the English? All right, we're fucking up the English. Absolutely. So the English are fighting the Burkes on one side, and they're fighting the O'Malleys with Grania back in the captain's seat on the other side. And then on top of that, there are other Irish clans that are rebelling.
Oh,
that's
also
a lot.
Yeah, that's just lots of rebellion.
Yep.
Also, Grania calls in some Scottish mercenaries that she knew. So a mercenary basically just means soldier for pay.
Yeah.
In Game of Thrones, they called them sellswords. So we always love a good Game of Thrones
we
reference.
Do. We do. Yes.
Typically, mercenaries are like, we really don't care who wins. We're just going to fight for the money. You know, whoever's paying us. However, the English haven't been super cash money to the Scottish. So, they're getting paid, but this is starting to get a bit personal.
Right. So finally, the English are like, fine. Fucking fine. We don't care anymore. We don't want to fuck with this anymore. So you can, whatever, Iron Dick, you are now the MacWilliam. Like, we don't fucking care. Just stop attacking us.
And Iron Dick is made the MacWilliam by the Irish tradition. And he is now named Lord Burke in the English nobility.
Oh.
So now our girl is an English lady. Lady Burke.
Oh.
Lady
Burke. Oh. I'm curtsy.
She probably thought that was hilarious, though.
I know.
She's like, what? I mean, whatever. Chieftain, pirate, all-around boss, and a lady on top of that. Thank you.
I'm just imagining her, like, back in on her ship, like, fighting random people and just being like, oh, you got a curtsy to the lady when you jump on board. Like, just thinking it's fucking hilarious. But I think that's a good time to take a quick break and top off our drinks. And then we'll come back and hear more about our Lady Burke.
I'm Helena Bonham Carter, and for BBC Radio 4, this is History's Secret Heroes, a new series of rarely heard tales from World War II.
They had no idea that she was Britain's top female codebreaker.
We'll hear of daring risk takers,
What she was offering to do was to ski in over the high Carpathian mountains.
Of course it was dangerous, but danger was his friend.
Subscribe to History's Secret Heroes wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back. So now, over the next 3 years, Gracie and Dick, they're doing their thing. Have you heard that like song at like from that award show where they were like, Angela Bassett did the thing?
No, but I would love to hear you keep singing it.
No, I'm not. I was going to make that reference here, but if you don't know it, then it doesn't matter. So anyway, now over the next 3 years, Gracie and Dick, they're doing the thing. The thing that they are doing is they're plundering, they're trading, they're doing all their pirate shit, they're doing like legit trading and stuff too. But then in 1583, Iron Richard Burke, aka Iron Dick, he dies.
Oh.
Of no. Natural causes.
That not is. A lot of.
Right?
Surprising really for think, him.
You don't really think of like a pirate of dying of like old age or some shit. But yeah, that seems like what happened with him. So R.I.P. Not a lot of people get to die of natural causes in this story.
Right.
Spoiler alert.
And Grania is now about 53 or 54 and she's a widow again. But she doesn't know how to lay low. So she just keeps doing her thing. Yeah. If she mourned Iron Dick, we really just don't know.
Yeah.
Again, they didn't have more than likely a romantic relationship.
We don't think so, yeah.
For a very long time. But they had been partners in crime for like 20 years at this point. So she probably was a little bummed.
I mean, I don't have a romantic relationship with you, but if you died, I'd be crushed. You know? I think they were.
Oh. If you died, I would throw a party. No, I'm kidding.
A party in honor of me or a party because that loudmouth bitch is gone? Like, what do you mean?
Option A.
But no, I think that, you know, she was like, even if they weren't lovers or whatever, like, she still would have been like, we had a good thing going there and would have missed her friend and partner. Yeah. Yeah. But she did get to keep Rockfleet Castle, which was Iron Dick's castle that she loved, which I think was like the only reason she married him in the first place was for Rockfleet. So she got to keep it and she keeps the title Lady Burke for the rest of her life, a title that she would use whenever it suited her. Like when she was with other Irish people or dealing with like the Spaniards or something or the Scottish, she wouldn't use it. But if she was dealing with somebody that was, you know, for the English, she'd be like, that's Lady Burke. Please and thank you. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, and also she at this point had enough money. She could have retired. She had a handful of castles. She could have retired at this point in her life with a widow's income because with the English tradition, widows got like
a pension.
Yeah. They got a pension. And so she could have just retired if she wanted to.
Okay. Unfortunately, we're going to have to switch gears a little bit. And it's with a heavy heart. It's with a heavy heart that we have to introduce you to this new doozy of a character. A real fucking asshole of history. And this fucking guy's name is Sir Richard Bingham.
I hate this fucking guy. Richard Bingham was basically like in the top five highest ranking dudes in Ireland at the time.
Okay.
And probably the highest or second highest ranking dude in Grania's neck of the woods in Ireland. And when I say highest ranking dude, I mean from the English perspective. He was basically Queen Elizabeth's eyes and ears on the ground there in Ireland. And he fucking hated the Irish. He was an English guy. And he once wrote, the Irish will not be tamed with words, but with swords. Which is dramatic, but also super scary.
We are not going to talk about all of the atrocities that fucking Bingham committed, because that would take forever. That would be an entire episode, and it would be a really long one.
And it would be a fucking bummer.
Yeah, right.
It would just be sad. Let's give you one bummer story. to just kind of set the tone of this fucking guy. So there was, to bring it back to Game of Thrones, you know how like the Stark family took Theon as like a hostage and then for like to make sure the Greyjoys had good behavior. So he had that situation going on with an Irish family where he was like, I'm going to take your 9-year-old son as a hostage to make sure y'all have good behavior. And the family agreed to it. And then he killed the 9-year-old.
What?
That's the kind of person we're working with here.
All right. So a psychopath.
Psychopath. He also makes me think of, you know, whenever we studied my least favorite guy, Ferdinand of Aragon.
Yeah.
During the Spanish Inquisition, even the Pope had to be like, okay, you're being a little harsh on the Jewish people. That's kind of how it was with Bingham. Even anti-Irish, even they were being like, man, dude, you really fucking hate the Irish. You need to tone that shit down a bit. So that is the character who has now entered the chat.
Yeah, and he has a pretty big chip on his shoulder, and he very much decides that Grania and her family is who he needs to take down now to prove himself. So Grania is like, why are you so obsessed with me?
I wish we could afford to sample that song right here because it would be perfect.
But you know, she wasn't all that worried about it. He wasn't the first hater of hers, if you've been taking note, and wouldn't be the last. Hey, if you got haters, that means you're doing something right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, until, you know, Bingham goes a little too far.
So remember her first marriage? She had 2 sons. And the oldest, his name was Owen. That is the anglicized version. I don't even know how to say the Gaelic version, so apologies. So Owen from her first marriage was maybe a pretty nice guy. We don't really know much about Owen O'Flaherty, actually, but it seems like maybe he was pretty trusting or at least trying to be a peacekeeper of some kind. And that is what I call foreshadowing. Don't worry, he's not in this story long.
Oh, God. Spoiler alert. Bingham's dudes roll up to Owen's place and they're like, hey, we need a place to crash. And Owen is like, look, if I provide these dudes with food and a place to crash for the night, you know, maybe they'll get off my family's back for a while. So he's like, hey, come on in, y'all. Make yourself at home.
And long story short, Owen was murdered.
Ugh.
So predictable from this side of history. You know? Right. Sweet baby Owen, what were you thinking?
I know. And we don't know exactly how word got back to Grania, but y'all girl was pissed. Unsurprisingly.
Yeah, absolutely.
She would later say that she went herself to examine the body and counted 12 stab wounds, which is fucking grim.
Can you imagine? Like, I feel like having to go identify the body of a loved one is hard enough, but getting so hands-on that you count the stab wounds. Ugh. Remember in the last episode we talked about when Loverboy was murdered and how she went ham on those people? Well, that's the same mood, but times 5, because it's her fucking child.
Yeah.
And it's war after this. It wasn't actually Bingham that personally ordered the stabbing. It was Bingham's brother. But she was like close enough. Close enough.
If you got the last name Bingham, we're coming after you.
We're coming after you. Oh, it was knives out. Absolutely.
For the next year or so, Gracie is attacking Bingham's ships and Bingham is attacking the O'Malley's lands. And then her son Moreau, her youngest son with her first husband, he joins the Bingham side.
What the fuck?
I know.
Traitor. What? The actual fuck, dude? So to teach this little bastard a lesson, the story goes that Grania attacks his house at night. She steals all his cattle, which cattle back then in Ireland was like one of the major forms of currency. So stealing all your cattle is basically like akin to stealing your identity now and taking all your money, you know, getting your social security number or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, and then she sets his crops on fire.
Oh my God.
When she didn't think Moreau was fighting back hard enough for her, because apparently Moreau woke up, realized that his lands was on fire and like retreated. She yells at him, Nathan, you're going to fucking love this. She yells at him, are you trying to hide up my ass the place you came out of?
Yes. Yes.
Which is hilarious and horrifying at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm just imagining, oh, that's so wild. I hope, because just like everything with Grace O'Malley, Grainne O'Malley, everything is like with an asterisk because it is kind of all like word of mouth storytelling. But I hope that's true. I hope so hard that's true.
So this goes on for a year or so, and Grainne starts calling up these Scottish mercenaries again, and she may have also been hitting up her friends that she's been trading with in Spain. Remember, she's been trading with Spain like her whole damn life, so she probably spoke Spanish. But put a pin in that for now. It is very important. We promise. Ding.
Ding. Pin dropped. And eventually, Bingham calls up Gracie, calls up Grainne, and she's like, look. He's like, I am so fucking tired of fighting. Aren't you tired of fighting? I know you're calling up the Scottish. This is also around the time, not exactly around the time, but a few years-ish of the time when Mary, Queen of Scots, had been executed. So England's also got like a very wary eye on Scotland as well. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I know you've been calling up the Scottish to come fight against us. That is straight up treason. But I want a truce. I want a truce. So I want to give you a pardon. Let's put all of this behind us. And just come meet up with me. Let's have tea. Let's talk this over.
Now, at this point, Bingham's dudes had taken Grainne's youngest son's whole hostage. So Tybalt, or Toby of the ships, that guy. And he...
The one that was born during when the pirates were attacking the ship from the last episode.
Yes. He just gave birth on fucking boat and just comes out swinging.
Yeah.
And he's also taken her half-brother Donal of the Pipes hostage. So I think that's the only reason she fell for this shit?
Yeah, one son had just literally been murdered. So if the other son is in the custody of the guy that murdered the other son, I think she had blinders on, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I want a truce. Like, well, fuck, he's killed one of my sons, made my other son a traitor. He could be torturing Tybalt. He could be torturing my brother Donal. I got to see what he has to say. Maybe we can come to an agreement. But it was a bajillion percent a trap. And Grainne was thrown into jail immediately and charged with treason on like 100 different accounts. Oh, Gracie, 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 baby, you should have seen this coming.
Yeah. And Grainne was condemned to die by hanging. And sick fucking Bingham taunted her with it constantly. He'd be like, do you hear that banging going on outside? They're building you the galley to hang you from.
Ooh.
Like, okay, bitch, shut up. Like, what a dick. Yeah, oh, nice day. Wouldn't it be perfect day to hang a traitor? Like,
And like, I anytime that we spend this much time researching certain figures, I feel like I kind of get into their head. And like when I was researching that part, I could just almost hear Grainne in my head being like, then fucking do it already.
Right.
Like shit or get off the pot. Fucking do it already. If you're going to hang me, just fucking, this is getting old, you know?
But one day, and no one knows why, she was pardoned. We've even read dramatic tales of her being walked to the gallows and then a messenger on a horse rushes in with a letter from Queen Elizabeth pardoning the pirate queen. But we have no idea if that actually happened, but we love the drama of the scenario.
That would make such a good movie. Mm-hmm. Why hasn't there been, I feel like we say this all the time, like why have there been 700 movies about the wives of Henry VIII and not a Grainne Grace O'Malley movie?
It would be genius. Regardless of the reason, she was let go into custody of her son-in-law. Remember from part one, her son-in-law, the Devil's Hook.
Who we think maybe had a big nose or something.
Yeah, the English agreed to give her over to him if he promised to keep her in check. Which, okay. I can just imagine the Devil's Hook being like, okay, buddy, I'll do my best.
I'll try real hard on that.
Like, she's going to start listening now, and she's going to start letting people tell her what to do now?
Okay.
Think not.
Welcome to a part of this story called Katie's Tinfoil Hat Time. I have a theory about why she was suddenly let go, very much against Bingham's wishes, because when she was let go, he was like, what? Like, he was so mad. So earlier in the story, we know Grania met with that Sydney guy from the English. We know that she was willing to play ball with the English if it benefited her family. Queen Elizabeth of England, in case listeners don't know, she had spies. She had so many spies. We've talked about it on Patreon. Who was that guy that was like her master of spies? Who was like her master of whispers? Do you remember we did a whole episode?
Yes.
It's been a couple of years. But yeah, so we know that she had spies all over the world, basically. Grania is friends with a lot of Spanish people, which we've talked about a couple of times in these couple of episodes. She'd been trading with them her whole life. Nathan, have you ever heard of a historical event called the Spanish Armada?
Okay, yes. Yes. Very familiar with it.
So this was, for anybody that's not familiar, this was when Spain sent a whole bunch of ships to fight England. The Spanish Armada happened a year after Grania was let out of prison.
Oh.
So tensions between Spain and England at this point were already at a boiling point. So what I'm getting at, what I'm doing with like this crazy like tinfoil hat theory is that I think Queen Elizabeth of England was like, she is more used to me alive and sending me information about what Spain is doing. I want her out there on the waters talking to her Spanish friends and writing letters back to me. I am completely speculating. I have no big historical documents to back me up here. But if it went how history has said that it's gone, the story of her being like walked to the galley and almost beheaded and then let go and nobody knows why, I think it's because Elizabeth needed spies against Spain and she knew Spanish sailors trusted Grania.
I like that theory. That's a very good, you heard it here first.
You heard it. Maybe not. I'm sure I'm not the first person to ever put this together. So maybe you've heard it other places. But would that explain why she got let go?
Yeah, it would.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway,
reeling it back. Reeling it back.
let's take Katie out of her tinfoil hat, please. There we go. whatever her agreement was to get out of jail, she still had her fucking eye on Bingham. And for the next 6 years, the two fucked with each other nonstop. She was doing petty shit to fuck with him, like making friends with English people that she knew didn't like Bingham, just to be like, see, I don't hate English people. I just hate you.
I just hate you. You're the asshole. They're all kind of chill. Yeah. You know, Bingham had lots of enemies too, by the way. Though most English were kind of genocide-y to Ireland at the time. Like I was saying earlier, Bingham was way more genocide-y. Like to the point where everybody else was like, damn, dude, that's too much genocide.
Now we're going to do a little bit of skimming because the next 6 years are just war and kidnappings. And that's, if you know anything about Queen's podcast, we just don't do war stuff. It's just a lot. But more wars overseas and at home, just lots of war. And then after 6 years of all that warring, Grania's going broke.
Wars are expensive.
Yeah, they're expensive, and Bingham has been hurting her business. She can't effectively pirate while she's always trying to evade or fuck with Bingham.
So Bingham writes back to England that Grania is, and this is a direct quote from Bingham, she is the nurse of rebellion in Ireland for the last 40 years.
Ooh.
Like, again, why are you so obsessed with me? Like, he wants this to end, though. And he wants Elizabeth to swoop in and have Grania arrested for good this time. But Elizabeth doesn't respond. She ye old timey leaves him on read. She's like, I seriously doubt that this one woman is the root of all rebellion in the entire country. Like, and she just leaves him on read.
So Grania's like, huh? Write a letter to the boss? You're not the only one who can write a letter. So she puts on her full-blown Karen wig and is like, Bingham, I'm going to speak to your manager about this one.
I love it. So she writes a letter that is very refined and very sophisticated. And it really shows that Grania here has a keen understanding of the political climate. Because I don't think that in her normal day she spoke with sophistication. But she was like, I know what's going to get attention. And she is basically like, this man, this Bingham man that is in your employ, he has been torturing me to no end. He murdered my eldest son. He has my youngest son in custody. He has my middle son, a traitor against me. He won't leave me alone. I don't understand why. I'm just an old lady with a couple of boats. Like, what does he want from me? Huh? I think she even says, like, I'm just a farmer.
Oh, God. Okay, Carrie.
Which, you know, okay. Elizabeth knows that she's not just a farmer.
Yeah. And a twist that no one expected. In 1593, at about 63 years old, Grania O'Malley, the pirate queen, is invited to England to meet Queen Elizabeth I. So what?
What? Again, another reason that I think they had already been communicating with each other for a while. But anyway, I digress. I'm going to retire my tinfoil hat for now, and I'm going to go top off my drink. And why don't we take a few minutes to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
All right. And we're back. So picture it. 1593. Greenwich Palace. A meeting of the minds. And Grania O'Malley, the famous pirate queen who was just a few years ago charged with treason against the crown, is now entering the presence of the crown. Mm. And Elizabeth's court is sparkly and fashionable and fancy as hell. Mm. And Grania and her dudes would have been, how shall we say, a little rough around the edges.
To say the least, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there are so many conflicting stories about this meeting that we don't know. Some even speculate that it never actually took place and that Grania went to London. But some people are like, maybe she just met with Elizabeth's advisors, but that's no fun. So we are going to tell the story like they did meet. And if you don't like it, listen to some other podcast.
So first of all, when they arrived, they say that Grania had the sniffles. So one of the fancy men at the Elizabethan court gave her a silk handkerchief to blow her nose. So she blows her nose and then she throws the handkerchief in the fire because it's covered in snot.
It's infected.
Everyone gasped because they're like, oh, that was silk. I wanted that back. And
that
she was like,
so much money.
You wanted my snot rag back? Why do you blow your nose with silk? That's freaking weird.
Right? Which, to her point, I've always thought handkerchiefs were a fucking weird concept. But I also live in a time when there's disposable snot
Kleenex.
Rags. Kleenex, yeah. Like
snot rags.
Disposable snot rags, not silk snot rags. Another part of the story is that Grania didn't bow or curtsy to Elizabeth, which I think it could have been for a couple of reasons and could also be made up. But let's discuss the reasons that she wouldn't have bowed. First of all, she didn't grow up with royalty. Like we've talked about, Ireland was a bunch of different clans, so there was no central royalty. So maybe she just didn't get it. Like she didn't get the... she'd heard the term queen, but she didn't understand the deference of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or maybe she was also like, what? I'm an English lady. I'm Lady Burke. We're both part of the aristocracy. Like, I don't really get why I'm supposed to bow. We're equals. Like,
yeah. And some say, well, I don't really believe this one. Some say it's because she was like, well, I'm a queen too. So why should I bow? Which, yeah. She never really had called herself a pirate queen at that point.
Yeah.
So.
We call her the pirate queen now, and maybe she was referred to that in her lifetime, but I don't think that's something she would have called herself. I could be projecting there, but I don't think she ever would have called herself that. I also think there might be a bit of like, her playing dumb, like, oh, I don't understand the nobility, just because she didn't want to fucking bow to somebody.
Yeah.
So supposedly, the conversation that they had, neither of them spoke a common language besides Latin. So that was the only language they were both fluent in. So they spoke Latin when they spoke, which honestly, I think Grania would have spoken and understood most English. Like, it wasn't her native tongue. But I think she spoke more English than she let on. Because after all these years trading with and working with the English in Ireland, come on.
Yeah.
Her biographer, the lady that wrote, like, the most esteemed biography on Grania is this woman, Anne Chambers. And even she wrote, Grania spoke and understood English fine. She probably could have done this conversation in English. But because Henry VIII had put that whole thing in place of, like, teach your kids how to speak English or I'll kill you. Like, it was almost like a bit of a rebellious thing to not speak English.
But speaking Latin made her look more educated because peasants didn't speak Latin. So that move, I totally get why she did that.
Yeah, just like, oh, you think I'm just some bum? You think I'm a hillbilly? Like, I'm going to speak the language of the scholars. Yes, absolutely.
Anyway, Grania submits her case. She's like, look, we're both powerful women in a world that hates powerful women. I need you to get this dude off my ass. I need him to let my son and brother go. And I need him to give me an allowance because of this fucking guy. I've spent all of my money. I'm broke. And what the actual fuck?
Right. And Elizabeth says, okay. Sounds good to me. You've made a lot of good points. I'll tell him to call it off. I'll get you a pardon. You are, after all, the widow. And within English nobility, you come with, like, a set of respect, like a due amount of respect from that. And you should have a pension. But you have to promise to still give me ships if I need them. And you need to be loyal to the English crown.
And again, like we said earlier, Grania wasn't particularly patriotic. She cared about the O'Malleys. She cared about the Burkes. Mm. She cared about her kids and her grandkids and her brother. And she cared about the men that she'd been working with for decades for their family. So she's like, yeah, fuck it. If you let me live my life and you pay me good, then God bless the queen, I guess.
Only thing she called Grania out on, and I think this is so funny. After years of Grania probably murdering people and stealing their money and stealing their land, and after a lifetime of robbing people and working against the English with the Scottish and the Spanish, the only thing Queen Elizabeth called her out on, she was like, you know how you burned your son's lands and, like, told him to go back up your ass or whatever? That was very unladylike. She was like, that was a bad look. That's embarrassing for women. Don't do that again. That is the only thing.
That's great.
And again, tinfoil hat Katie moment. I think she went easy on Grania because she needed the O'Malleys to funnel information back to her. You know?
That makes sense. Yeah. So Grania goes home with a letter from Bingham's boss that says, leave the pirate queen alone.
That's, leave Grania alone.
And let her son go and let her brother go. And seriously, Bingham, just quit being a dick.
Quit being a dick.
Oh, and she can continue to conduct maintenance, quote unquote, by land and sea, which basically is old timey speak for she can keep doing all that pirating shit that
pirate. I don't care. Yeah. Bingham saw the letter and he just said, no. He was like, I'm not fucking doing any of that. He let Grania's son go and he let Grania's brother go, but he did not give her a pension and he did not get up off her ass. He kept trying to capture her ships. He kept trying to imprison her and her men. He kept being obsessed with her.
Bingham was pissed. He was like, you're going to go over my head to my boss.
Okay.
And then just come home and expect me to be friends with you. I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
And he writes a letter to Queen Elizabeth himself being like, everything she says is a lie. You don't understand. She starts rebellions everywhere she goes. He even says something to the effect of, everything I've ever done, I've done to the best of my ability as a Christian.
This man has killed 9-year-olds. This dude has so much blood on his hand. Like, what would Jesus do? Probably not genocide.
That's probably a good first step. Elizabeth, though, once again leaves him on read. I get the vibe that she kind of knew all of the drama and controversy surrounding him, so she's just not very impressed with him.
Yeah.
Not that we think that Elizabeth of England was some kind of merciful saint, you know. She never told people not to murder children, so... But I get the vibe that she thought Bingham was a bad look.
I agree. I absolutely agree. So Grania is like, oh, we're writing letters? Oh, I just wrote a letter. I just wrote a letter. We're writing letters? Okay. I'm going to write a letter to my BFF pen pal, Lizzie. Let's see whose letter gets a response. So she writes her own letter and she's like, this fucking guy won't let up. I told him everything. I showed him your commands about leaving me the fuck alone. And he just said, no. Can you do something about this guy?
And long story short, Bingham got recalled from Ireland in 1594. And girl got her pension. And she went back to sea and kept doing that pirate shit for the rest of her life.
I love this journey for her.
I know. She gets her way almost every fucking time.
So the last documented sighting of Grania O'Malley on sea was in 1597, when she would have been about 67 years old, give or take. 67 back then is a lot older than 67 right now, especially when you take into account the kind of life she lived.
Yeah.
Like, she'd been in life on the sea is not an easy life. There's a bunch of sun damage that comes with that. There's a bunch of fighting. There's a bunch of, you know, just you're open to the elements, you know?
Yeah.
So that was a very, 67 back then would kind of be more like 107 now, you know,
yeah, right.
Given the life that she had lived. But she was nearly 70 and still out there running the pirate game.
We're skimming over a lot of stuff that went down in Ireland at this time, like, you know, the 9 Years' War, which was an uprising against England in Ireland. And Grania kept her word, gave her ships and soldiers to go fight on the side of the English. Again, this is what she thought was best for her family and the people that, you know, relied on her, not necessarily for all of Ireland. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, because you also have to think about it. Yeah, it was good for her family, but like you said, the people that relied on her. So she now has sailors that are like third generation fighting for her. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like their dad's dads started with her when she was like a teenager. So she's got all these other people relying on her. So I think she's just going with what's going to be best for all these families. Not just my family. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. She likely retired in 1597 or soon after that, and then died sometime between 1600 and 1603. Some say she's buried on Clare Island, and others say at Rockfleet. They're really only like 17 miles from each other, and they were her two favorite residences, so no one really knows where she's buried, but it's probably at one of those places.
Right. Sooner after her death, she was largely wiped from Irish history. I've read a couple of different reasons why. One, I think some people say because she was a woman and she had power. Honestly, I think it was more probably because she gave ships to the English and Irish rebellions. But either way, she was wiped from Irish history. And for generations and generations, her story has just been carried down by word of mouth about the badass pirate queen who did what the fuck she wanted to whoever the fuck she wanted, when the fuck she wanted, and that's how her story was kept alive.
So that is the mostly true,
we think,
life of Grania O'Malley, or more commonly known as Grace O'Malley. They tried to erase her, honey, but this is one woman who will not be erased.
So let's raise a fucking glass to the fucking pirate queen, Grania O'Malley.
Bitches.
Cheers, bitches.